You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
Ian, look at this.
Well, it's a police box. What on earth is he doing here? I mean, these things are usually on the street. I feel it. You feel it?
Faint vibration.
It's alive.
Earth Station Who, a fun mashup celebrating nearly 50 years of the Doctor Who universe. Hold tight. You never know where the TARDIS is going next.
Laugh hard.
Run fast. Be kind. Doctor, I let you go.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to another episode of the Earth Station Who podcast. That's right, folks. We are back and we are going to go back to the 10th Doctor era. And we are going to talk about a Doctor and Martha story called Gridlock. It is the third story from, season three of Doctor Who. And It was an interesting story because it brought back some old friends. It introduced us to some new interesting characters and it, you know, opened a mystery of you are not alone. We will be talking all about that. And the reason we are talking about that, we have a guest with us tonight. And of course, let's welcome the award-winning author himself, Mr. Bobby Nash.
Hey guys, thanks for having me.
Well, this was your pick. Was there a reason that you picked this one or?
It was my second pick, but you guys had recently done what was my first pick, so I didn't figure you'd want to go back and do it so soon. But the reason I picked this one, you know, there are those that are on everybody's list, you know, your Blinks, your Silences in the Library, et cetera, et cetera. I made sure none of those made my list. I just went looking for what was a good adventure Doctor story that I could watch over and over and over again. And Gridlock was the first one that popped into my head.
No, totally understand that. I could definitely see that. And it's a fun story.
Mm-hmm.
And it actually surprised me that I haven't seen this one in quite some time. But we'll get all of that into there. And thank you for being on the show with us.
My pleasure. It's always great to get out of the airlock.
Well, you know, JD, you know, probably has, you know, needs to be hosed down. So it probably helps to get some fresh air.
And it's been a while since I've been up here to the TARDIS deck. So, you know, it's nice up here.
We put even a new blue light bulb in for you.
There you go.
And of course, we have our regulars with us. Let's, of course, say hello to Mr. Mike Gordon.
Howdy.
How are you this week, sir?
I am fine.
Ready for some Doctor Who talk?
I'm ready to be stuck in traffic for an hour.
Oh, so the show should be called Atlanta. Got it.
Exactly. This is very, it's going to be very similar to my ride home from work every day.
Oh, God. You know, I didn't even put two and two together, but wow.
Mike's probably sitting there cussing me the whole time he's watching it.
Damn you, Nash. And of course,
let's just say I can relate to it.
And of course, we have the lovely and talented Mary Ogle with us.
Hi, everybody. It's great to be here.
Well, at least you're out of the box right now.
for an hour at least.
Exactly. Then it's back to packing.
Oh man.
I am so sorry.
Yes, you should be. It's awful. Everybody feels sorry for me.
Okay, all three of us at the same time go, aww. Poor Mary.
But she's like, save your Oz. Show up with a pickup truck.
Yeah, really. Well, make yourselves useful, darn it.
I could bring in and out at least. No.
I wish you could.
Oh, so do I. But it's, you know, moving is just the worst. And, you know, I don't know really anybody who actually enjoys it. The only good thing about it is you get to throw out stuff you forgot about for years. And, you know, for most people, unless you're a hoarder or you're Judy, but that's okay.
Yeah.
she knows.
It's amazing. It's pretty amazing what you can accumulate when you've lived in a place for about 10 years. And my place is tiny, but it didn't matter. I found stuff I haven't even looked at in 10 years.
It really does mean every nook and cranny is taken care of.
Yep, it does.
Totally understand that. But of course, you know, we want to hear from you guys at home. Please write us at eswpodcast@gmail.com. Definitely want to hear if you have any feedback on this episode or any Doctor Who topics you want to talk about. Please let us know. We also always are looking for folks to join us on the show, just like we have Bobby tonight. You know, please, you know, write us, like we said, eswpodcast@gmail.com. Or you could even call us, 404-963-9057. We have some news coming up at the end of the show about how you could even support the station even more now. And got some really big things to talk about, but we'll wait. And in other words, let's get on with the show. So definitely got some Doctor Who news. Nothing huge with the new series. They've posted some pictures of the cast on set. Of course, Jodie in her new outfit and her new companions. And it's weird seeing her with three companions and such. You know, what do you guys think about that? Are you okay with it? Or do you think it's going to be like how on the last episode when we were talking about with Peter having too many companions?
I have mixed feelings about it. I mean, sometimes I enjoy a crowded TARDIS. It's kind of fun. But a lot of times the writers don't know what to do. And so somebody ends up being a third wheel.
Or Adric.
So, right. for example. So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see what they do with it.
No, I definitely think so. And I'm curious to see, were they worried maybe that Jodie wasn't strong enough to be able to handle the show with just one or two companions and that they had to bring
in
two?
I don't think that's the problem.
Yeah, I doubt it.
Yeah, I don't think that's the problem. I don't think it's any reflection on Jodie. I just think, you know, obviously Chris has something in mind. So I'll be curious to see what he, you know, and hopefully with that in mind, with the you know, troubles with juggling three companions, he is aware of that and will, you know, sort of adapt all the episodes accordingly. So,
and Chris is somebody who really likes working with an ensemble. I mean, you can really tell that in his Torchwood stories and in Broadchurch. So I can understand him wanting to go in that direction. And, you know, it'll be interesting to see what he does with it.
Mm-hmm. I'm very curious.
Because not only do they have to introduce these three companions, we've still got to be reintroduced to this new Doctor. So that's technically four new characters that they're going to have to introduce all at one time.
Very true.
So, but again, I agree with Mary. I think he does ensembles well, you know, so I'm curious to see how all these pieces fit together.
I'm willing to give it a shot, and I just, you know, I worry about it like we thought. But then again, when they did Amy, Rory, and River, it was pretty decent. Mm-hmm. So, mm-hmm. You know, it just all depends on, you know, the showrunner, I guess, too. Take that, John Nathan Turner.
Well, yeah, and just like with those Matt Smith episodes, there's nothing that tells us at this point all three of those are going to be with her every episode. I mean, like River was in and out, or Rory was in and out. And this could be the same thing. It could be, you know, there could be, because we know we also know, like, Chris likes to do these long season long stories. So if that's what they're doing here, there could be any number of ways that all these characters interact with each other.
Oh, sure. I totally could see that. It'd be interesting to see what happens. So the only other news that's been floating around is that, I'm going to say it right here, a certain companion from both the 9th and 10th Doctor might be coming back again.
Oh, no, make that not true.
They got your letters, Mike.
Yes, where it said Rose, X, 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 X. Yeah.
That just means kisses.
No, that's XO. Or is that hugs and kisses? I don't
that
know.
That was hugs and kisses.
That's hugs and kisses. You were just kiss, kiss, kiss.
Nothing against Billie Piper. She was a very nice person when I met her. But I just don't want to see Rose come back. I even liked her as the moment. I thought she was awesome. You know, I thought it was very cool to, you know, that she did. She's a great actress. I loved her in Penny Dreadful. I loved her in many other things I've seen her in now. But just, I don't want Rose back. I don't think there's any reason for it. That's just my opinion. And everyone knows that anyway.
I totally agree with you. We do not need Rose back. Even though, I mean, I liked first season Rose. And I like Billy Piper a lot, but there's just no reason for her to come back. So I really hope that's not true.
I hope not either. Maybe it's her just yanking everybody's chain. Please, 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 please. Oh, well, we'll have to just wait and see. And, you know, we're not trying to perpetuate any rumors here or anything. But, you know, Gallifrey 1 is coming up. By the time this podcast goes live, it'll be the kickoff. And, you know, it was just 2 years ago that Mary and I actually met at Gallifrey 1.
Yeah, that was a great time.
Mm-hmm. It was a great con. And I'm sure maybe some Doctor Who news will be coming out of there. And I know Felicity, the mayor of Chickentown from the Flopcast, will be at Gallifrey 1. And so, you know, if you see her, you know, say howdy, and she'll know exactly where you heard that from. And, you know, hopefully we'll have her on our next episode, actually, to talk about the con a little bit, her experience and everything. So anyone going to have at the con, if you're listening to this on the airplane ride out, or if you're at the con, it's like, thank you. Say hi to everybody. Wish we were there. So very cool. Doctor Who news otherwise is they're re-releasing already Enemy of the World, the second Doctor story. They're doing an extended version of it. You know, a couple years back, about 2-3 years ago at the most, they released from file, you know, videos that they found, I think it was in Africa or South America, they had found in a vault some missing copies of Enemy of the World, because it was one of the missing stories, and they were restored, and what they couldn't do, they animated, and they did a great job at it. But the one sad thing about it was there was no extras on it. Well, don't get worried, friends. That has changed. The new version of it has extras, has bonus material that, you know, talking about how they made the animations and, you know, how interviews with the surviving cast members. So it was a story that featured, of course, the second Doctor, and also had Jamie and Victoria as the companions. And it was a great story. But I think out of the three of them, Frasier is the only one who survived. The other two have passed away. So it'd be interesting to, you know, see what kind of bonus materials they have on it. And I think it's also being released in Blu-ray. So that's going to be even a nice little plus for people who are more into the high def stuff. So should be interesting to see how they bring up the quality of the video for the stuff that did survive. So I'm pretty cool, because I remember we reviewed it not that long ago, probably about a year and a half ago or so.
Yeah, I thought we released it. We reviewed it close when it came out, or at least the same year. But weren't there, when it came out, there were two Doctor Who Second Doctor stories that came out. And so far, they've only announced this one is going to be re-released, right? So I imagine the other one's probably going to be re-released at some point, too. This is the one with, is this the one where Patrick plays two?
Yes, he plays Dural. Scaramanga.
Yeah, this one was... dare I say, this one was the better story of the two yes. that was released. And
was it Web of Fear?
That's right. Fear. Web of Fear. Right.
Yes.
Right.
Because that was the other unit story. That's right. Because Invasion was the Cyberman.
So
one.
I'll be curious. I'm almost positive. I think when we got them, though, we were all kind of groaning because there was not. I mean, the BBC releases of Doctor Who stories are great. Because of all the bonus material that they provide, all the backstage interviews and all that. So it was kind of bare bones, and it felt bare bones at the time. So I think we all knew this was coming at some point. I'm surprised they're not labeling. Did they slap a label on it? Special edition?
I'm sure they will.
I think they are calling it a special edition.
Yeah. So I don't know if, you know, if I'll, This might be also the first second Doctor story that's available on Blu-ray.
Yes, it is the first one. The only one of the old series, other than the Doctor Who movie that's available on Blu-ray, was the first John Pertwee episode.
I was going to say the one of the third Doctor ones. Yeah, yes. The first one. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, look, if they're going to start re-releasing all the Doctor Who's on Blu-ray.
No.
I just, like, a couple years ago, I mean, I just finished my complete run of Tom Baker DVDs. I am not, like, re-buying those.
Well, I know the new Shada is coming out in Blu-ray.
That's true. Yeah, so I will be purchasing that. Repurchasing that, I guess. So. It's got new Tom Baker stuff on it. We talked about this before.
Oh, I know. I'm not putting it down for it.
We're not judging you.
We don't judge at all, Mike. Not on this show. We don't judge at all.
I hear you.
No, we basically, for the Doctor Who collectible out there, it's awesome to get new bonus material, maybe crisper and more cool animation. I'm just curious to see how it goes, and it's a good story, and Patrick is just awesome in it anyway, playing the two roles.
Yeah, he really is really, really good performance by him. It's really one of the better Second Doctor stories. It's really great. I definitely encourage people, if they don't have it, to buy it, to wait and when it's re-released with the new special edition and get it. In fact, I'll be tempted. I don't know. I can't remember, though, because when they first released these two stories, they did so digitally first. And that was like a first for the BBC as well, to release Doctor Who stories like on iTunes and all that first before they did it on disc. So I don't know that if I purchase it on disc or if I purchase the digital copies. So if I purchase the digital copies, I will be tempted to get the actual Blu-ray. But if I have the DVDs, I probably will sit on it for a little while.
I'll probably get it when it comes out, just because Patrick is one of my favorite doctors.
Yeah.
And yeah, I think I might have to get it. Mm-hmm.
Just because I just adore the story. And it's just interesting. I'm looking into our files, and Earth Station Who episode 71 was Enemy of the World. So over 100 episodes ago.
That's so long ago.
Yes, it was. Well, especially because, we don't, on this one, we don't record weekly except for when the new series is on. So it's really far ago, because it was Phantom and Jen were the co-hosts.
I remember we were sitting at Timegate watching part of it on DVD at the ESO table.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Exactly.
So we know Mike has it on DVD.
Oh, of course. Yes. Very much so. And that was interesting, to see the dual roles, especially at that time. It was a lot more difficult. They had to, literally splice the videos together. This wasn't computer generated or anything, where they could have two people playing, opposite each other at the same time and just green screen it in. This was like serious stuff.
Yeah, they do a good job of it too. And Patrick Troughton does a really good job of playing two entirely different characters. I mean, he differentiates them very well.
Oh,
this is just a good story.
Yeah, it's a good story. It's worth a proper release. So I'm glad they're doing that.
Mm-hmm. Actually, Jen was not on that episode. It was she was replaced by Shiksa and Nathan Laws.
Ah, well, they are both Second Doctor fans.
So. That's true. So you never know. We might review it again, at least talk about the bonuses. Could be a lot of fun.
Sure.
Yeah, why not? Give us something to talk about before the new story comes back.
Well, my understanding is isn't it not released till like late, right? It's August, or is it the summer?
It's summertime.
Yeah. So.
And of course, it'll be released in the UK first before here in the States.
All right. Yeah.
So it should be interesting to see. So that is the Doctor Who news that we have right now. And, let's take a quick break and we'll be back and we were going to talk all about Gridlock.
Hi, I'm Joe Heath.
I'm Tony Heath.
And we're going to watch every episode of Doctor Who and then talk to you about it.
Every episode?
Every single one.
In order?
From an unearthly child to, you know, the future. And we're going to do it in a podcast that we call...
The Watchathon of Rassilon.
WatchaRassilon.com. And we're also a part of the ESO Network. So check us out or whatever.
Please.
Stay Rassil Awesome.
Stop trying to make Rassil Awesome a thing.
Nope.
And we're slap bang in the middle of New New York.
He has arrived.
I need to talk to the police.
Do you want some happy?
Fine, it's all anger. How much you want for getting?
Very well dressed for a hitchhiker.
They say people go missing on the motorway. Some cars just vanish, never to be seen again, because there's something living down there.
What the hell are they?
Welcome back. We are now going back to April 14th, 2007, 11 years ago. Wow. To talk all about Gridlock and the third season of Doctor Who's new series featuring David Tennant and Freema. And it was just awesome. The Doctor and Martha were still trying to settle in and trying to figure out where they stood. And it was, you know, you still had the Doctor in this who was still getting over Rose. And it was a lot of fun to watch it. And Bobby, you know, you chose this one. And, you know, why we started at the beginning of the show, why you chose it and everything. Mm-hmm. What, you know, what's special about this one?
I love a good adventure story. And Doctor Who, when they do, I mean, not Doctor Who's all adventure, I get that. But I mean, not every adventure has to do with saving the universe. Sometimes you, even though the stakes are pretty high in this one, it starts out with just the Doctor and his companion show up somewhere. There's a problem. They have to solve it and we're done. And there's just a lot of exciting, adventurous stuff that happens in here. And it's one I can just watch again and again and just enjoy it for that aspect alone. You know, unlike where you watch some, you know, some of the shows have a more deeper or darker tone, or they are integral to the overall plot. Aside from the end of this episode, it's really not integral to the overall season. It's just a nice one-off story until we get to the end with the face of Bo.
Mm-hmm. So, or Captain Jack, you know, whatever you might call.
Yeah.
Otherwise known as.
Yeah. But this was, you know, even though this one is, I mean, even though it is a nice standalone, it also builds off of previous episodes. Because obviously with the face of Bo being there, we've met him, you know, in previous episodes. Being in New York, certainly. The Doctor and Rose traveled there. So we do have some familiarity there, which I like it. So to give us this new thing, and we're just getting to know Martha, and Martha was awesome. I quickly grew to like Martha. So by this point I was, you know, it was nice to see Martha stand up to the Doctor a little bit and not just blindly follow him like she had the last couple of episodes. And
That was actually one of the neat scenes at the very end where, you know, she literally called him on his BS.
Exactly.
Know? Yes.
And, you know, it's like, okay, you're going to tell me the truth. What is going on here? And, you know, it was just interesting because the Doctor was trying to play it off. Oh, it's nothing, blah, blah, blah. You know, trying to be the jovial David Tennant. And it just didn't work.
Yeah, that's actually a beautiful scene where he sits down and tells her about Gallifrey. And it was nice to see him interacting with her in a way that was on a more equal footing rather than the whole ridiculous unrequited love thing, which I love Martha, but I hate about her character.
Mm-hmm. Well, the bad thing, Martha is the rebound.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just how they did her character. And she realized it very quickly, though, that she was.
Right. She even says that in this episode.
Mm-hmm.
She makes it a point to use that word.
Yep.
And I think Martha, this was really a point where Martha really understood where she stood in all this.
Mm-hmm.
And, but yeah, it's, but it also, it was also a turning point for the Doctor as well, because in the beginning of this episode and the previous episodes, he is still that down in the dumps from, you know, after losing Rose, and he's not the happy-go-lucky 10th Doctor we're used to. But after he goes and starts realizing, you know, when he has to save Martha, there's a bit of a change that comes over him that we see how he starts reacting to Martha differently going forward. And I think that's not that he got over the Rose thing like that, but he started realizing that Martha wasn't Rose, and, you know, it's a different thing. And they went on to just have their adventures together.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah. Because, yeah, here's where he realizes that Martha is a person, like Martha is somebody that he really needs to take seriously, I think. Because, yeah, I think he's just been stringing, you know, it's just, oh, it's fun. It's it. But here's where, you know, I mean, she, the loss of her, and I'm not sure if he understands the loss of her as an individual, but just, you know, the way he's been treating her, he would be responsible for that loss, I think, is enough to make him kind of wake up. And then at the end, you know, be honest with her as much as he can be for the Doctor. And really, David goes through a lot of, you know, emotions in this. I mean, you're right. He does kind of play it off like he is the happy-go-lucky Doctor in the beginning, even though it's just a front. And we can tell, which is, you know, a dual layer for him that he's playing. And we get to see some of that, you know, that wrath of the Doctor, you know, when he blasts out the drug dealers, you know, like he's like, you better not be here when I get back. Like, it's just like, I mean, it's so we see that wrath of the Doctor that shows up, you know, periodically, that showed up on New Earth the last time they were there, when, you know, when he famously said, you know, it stops with me. You know, he's still got that attitude. Yeah. And it's also a turning point for him too, because, you know, even though he tells Martha that, you know, he believes that Bo lied to him, I think he doesn't believe it. He still probably does have hope that there may be someone else out there, that maybe another Time Lord.
Well, of course.
Right. Oh, yeah.
Well, because if you remember, you know, the Doctor at this point is just getting over from the PTSD that the Ninth Doctor had from, you know, destroying Gallifrey. And, you know, he was still recovering from it. And because of Rose, he got through it. And yes, I'm giving Rose credit for something, folks. Don't die of shock right there. But
newsflash.
But literally, you know, this, you know, of course he, you know, he's accepted by this point that he is the last of the Time Lords, because, you know, to him though, the Daleks keep on coming back and coming back, even though he thought that he destroyed them. And of course, in the back of the mind, he's probably hoping somehow Gallifrey survived, which later we found out did, but that's a whole different story for another episode. And you could listen to that earlier in, you know, ESO and Earth Station Who. So, but anyway, you had,
darn that time travel.
Exactly. Wibbly wobbly timey wimey. But the thing is, you know, he's accepted in his mind that, you know, he's a soul. And then for the face to say, you are not alone, he was like, no, you're wrong. You know, I am, you know, that's, there can't be. And, you know, giving him hope, because there were a lot of good Time Lords he was hoping, you know, Romana or, you know, some of his other people he knew on Gallifrey and such who were wandering the universe. It was just interesting to see, because especially if you go from the Big Finish stuff.
Right.
There's
also a bit of that too. I mean, which we're talking here about, you know, the Doctor has a bit of a turning point here. Martha also does as well, because in her first two interactions with the Doctor, it was just an adventure for her, and she got out of it, and she jumps into these trips thinking nothing's going to happen. And this is kind of the first time where she realizes that if I die here, no one back home will know that I'll have just disappeared. And that, yeah, that it,
it gets real for her here.
Yeah. Because isn't it, if it's not the next episode, it's very shortly after the doctor gives her the cell phone. Because that's an issue with her of not being able to stay in touch with her family.
I think it might be the next one, because next one after this was, dare I say it, Daleks in New York.
Yep. Daleks in Manhattan.
No. Yeah. I try to forget about that one.
Hey,
Warren, if you think about it, that's three New York episodes back to back.
Yeah. That's true. New York. And then New York. New York.
And Brits with their American accents.
Oh, God. Yes. Yeah. You even had Peter Parker in that one.
Yep.
Yeah.
So what did this one too. But this one also, it gives you a bit of a, you don't really know who the villain is. I mean, because it starts out, you think one thing, because it starts out with all this stuff with Sally Calypso and something's going on. And as the hand, you know, rubs across the monitor, she's got that smile and that, you know, cheery. And so my first thought is, okay, that's the villain right there. But the Sally Calypso stuff is actually the part that's trying to keep everybody alive. So well, it's also a nice turning that way, because you don't, it kind of takes a left turn you weren't expecting.
Well, the Sally Calypso thing, what really wasn't trying to keep him alive, it was more trying to keep him compliant.
Right.
And everything. Because everyone on the surface was destroyed by that designer drug.
Right, but without Sally Calypso, they may have tried to break out or, you know, whatever. She, you know. So her program, for better or worse, kept all those people alive by keeping them trapped.
Mm-hmm.
You know, which is something else I know we'll see later on. Like certainly, Silence in the Library does the same kind of thing, where they, you know, something tries to save everyone by locking them away. And so, sorry, I think you were starting to say something as I started that. Sorry.
No, it was a good explanation, but it was interesting too, because, you know, you had the whole thing with the police being, you know, it was just a whole device. There were no police anymore because they were all destroyed.
Right. Check your files. Have you seen a police officer?
Exactly. Have you seen an ambulance? Have you seen, you know?
I mean, one of the things I really like about this episode is that it on the surface, it seems, a bit like a fluffy episode, but it's really not. There's a lot of underlying stuff going on here about the people being abandoned by their government, or feeling like they're abandoned by their government and trapped and stagnating.
We don't know nothing about that anymore.
Right. Yeah. And clinging to hope and faith, you know, as they sing the hymns. But also being unable to break out of that, they need the doctor and Martha to wake them up and say, hey, you know, you're really not going anywhere. There is no way out of this unless you break out of the pattern.
Yeah, it's there's a lot of great characters in this, and I like the adventure aspect of it, as Bobby mentioned. The big problem I have with this episode is that the more I think about it, the more I'm like, it doesn't make any sense. Like the fact that, like, okay, to save these people on the planet, Bo and his cat friend, lock everybody up in the freeway and they just keep going, you know, they're not going to go anywhere for a while until what? You know, we don't know. And then somehow for some reason, the system is sending people, anybody who have any car that has three people or more, down to their deaths with the macro. Like, and it's explained that the macro really they've devolved. So they're not intelligent. So they're not behind it. So I'm kind of thinking, is Bo sending people to their death? Like, I don't, like, I'm just trying to figure out, like, why. Like, there's this sort of rule that if you have three people, you can go down and you can die. So slowly, like, people are just, like, people are being eliminated.
Well, it's basically because those carpool people are just so damn smug. That's why. driving past you real fast.
I mean, that was a failure in the system. That was the Macra somehow degrading the system in a way that they could have these victims brought to them. They had somehow infested the planet. And
I mean, it says that they're basically feral beasts here. And they are. Really?
Well, they are.
Yeah.
How are they influencing the system?
Taking the weak. Yeah, basically.
I'm also curious.
Chewing on the wires.
Were the Macra down there when they sealed the roadway, or did they find some way in, which meant the others could have found some way out?
Yeah. See, there's a lot of questions where it's like, yeah, why didn't, I don't know. It just, it's one of those things where it's like, if you think of really hard about it, all of a sudden it just starts getting breaking apart. So I try not to think too hard about it. I mean, there's so many really cool elements. Like, yeah. Yeah.
At the end of the episode, the Macra are still down there.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. That hasn't changed.
Right.
To me, the Macra were kind of shoehorned in, as in I want to make this obscure reference to an old missing Doctor Who episode that only the fanboys are going to get because I can.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
There wasn't really any reason for them to be the Macra.
No, but I think there was some reason that they did want, like, you know, like, why doesn't everybody just like go down on the ground level and get out of their cars? So there had to be some sort of danger.
Yeah, there needed to be a monster. Right. But
exactly. So, yeah. And I don't, obviously, I'm not familiar with the Macra. I guess their story in the second Doctor era does not exist anymore. So,
how convenient.
I know. I'm not familiar with them. So, but you know, I mean, it does seem like kind of a throwaway. But like, despite the fact that the actual, you know, plot doesn't make a lot of sense, there's so much good characters from, you know, the return of Bo. The Face of Bo is great. I am adamant, by the way, that I hate the idea of the Face of Bo being Captain Jack Harkness. I think that is one of the dumbest things that Russell T has ever done. And I hate it with a passion. And unfortunately, in rewatching this, I kept thinking, "Oh, that's Captain Jack now," and it ruins almost the Face of Bo for me, which is awful because I love that character and before, but I hate the fact that, talk about shoehorning in. It's like, oh, let's just make Captain Jack the Face of Bo, which makes no sense whatsoever.
Yeah. I do want to say two characters I do want to point out though. Were Novus Hayne and Brannigan. Not only were they great characters, but my God, that makeup is incredible.
Oh, yes. The makeup is awesome. Well, you did see the other cat species also. They had the black cat.
Right.
Also. Yep.
And the kittens and the little babies.
And the kittens. Well, exactly. Yes. But the black cat was also down in the carpool lane. Mm-hmm. And they got destroyed. And it was interesting that, you know, that the cat people were the only aliens, though, other than the Macra.
Well, I mean, I don't know. I mean, there was a guy there. It was all red in one of the cars. There was a guy that was all pasty white.
Yeah. And there were nudists. Yeah. God, yeah.
We had quite the diverse population, apparently.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Look, there were a million cars. I mean, we didn't see them all. So, I mean, who knows? But the fact that, you know, that it was such a simple, you know, shoot, that they only really had one car that they used as and everything else was CG. Right. I thought the CG in this was really well done and put together. It still holds up, you know, even though it's, God, is it almost 10 years now?
It's 11, dude.
It's 11 years old. So you'd think that, you know, you'd start to wear a little bit, but no, I thought it still looked great. Like I said, I think that it moves, the characters are great. And yeah, like, you know, we often talk about characters that we hope that would make good companions, or that we think would make good companions at some time. Brannigan is an excellent candidate for that.
Yeah.
Yes.
This is also the plot for this is also good at getting the Doctor separated from the TARDIS.
Yep.
Because if he had access to his TARDIS, this episode would have been over really quick.
Right.
So I like the fact that they came up with what I thought was an interesting way of keeping him out of his TARDIS. And I love the bit where he's jumping from car to car and interacting with all of those people. And that's like some of, I mean, that's David just being funny, good and funny, as he's bouncing between all those cars.
I had forgotten that one, the people who kidnapped Martha, one of them who was Jean was Lenora Kricklow. And I know I mispronounced the name, drink up. But basically she was from Being Human.
Yep.
Yeah. Yep.
And it's like, oh, wait a minute. I recognized her. And it was like, oh, wow. So that was pretty cool. Was there anyone else you recognized in this?
Her husband I recognized too, but I can't. I think he's done some stuff, but I couldn't place exactly. I looked him up too, and I don't know. I still didn't know exactly where I'd seen him before. Probably just some random British show that I watched. But real quick, I wanted to say also what I really also love about when Tenth Doctor is going from car to car. What I really also appreciate, and this is why, one of the reasons why I say David is probably one of the best actors that's ever played Doctor Who. And I don't mean that like trivially. I mean, I know there's been a lot of great talent that have played the Doctor, but David is just so amazing because, I mean, while he's going from car to car, I'm actually like watching this and my lungs are filling up with smoke, just like, because he's selling it so well. I actually feel like my lungs are filling up with smoke. And the only reason that there is that, because it's all CG or whatever, is because David's selling it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I think he's a big part about why it still works, because all these disparate characters, I mean, it could have really easily gone over the top. And I mean, it's almost like absurdist theater. You just have all these wildly different characters, but with the way David interacts with them, it's very real, and they actually come across, even in just their little cameos, as very warm, relatable characters. And I think a lot of that has to do with the way David Tennant interacts with them.
Oh, exactly.
And, yeah, and the writing and the directing too. I mean, that you're right. That the both times, especially where they're on the motorway singing "The Old Rugged Cross," could have been so just like, oh, this is silly. Like, this is like over the top. Like, this is getting into camp. But instead, it really felt honest, and you really felt for these people.
Right, agree. Because especially once you realize how long some of them have been there, you know, or that they've been doing this for. Because what was it? He asked Brannigan how long they've been on there. And they are, how long they've gone? They've been like five miles. And he said, oh, we've been in here 12 years.
And I think someone else says, I think the married couple says they were there for 20.
Right, right.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Well, according to Brannigan, they were sisters.
Yeah. Well,
yeah. Newsflash, they weren't sisters.
Yeah.
In doing my follow-up research after watching it, they are also the first married gay couple in Doctor Who to be portrayed on screen.
That's awesome, though.
And I love the way they did it. It's one of those things. It's a detail. Yeah, they don't beat you over the head with it. It's just, it's there. They give you the detail, and the story keeps going. And they didn't stop to like beat you over the head with, no, do you get it? Do you get it? Do you get it? You know, they didn't do any of that. And it works better the way they did it, I think.
Yeah, it's just a natural part of the story.
Exactly.
There's all these different types of people trapped in this gridlock.
Exactly. And I love how each of the cars were all personalized to the people.
Yeah, because they're their homes.
Which means since they only had like one car set, they had to keep like redressing it, and then have David go through, redress it, and then have David go through and redress it, have David go.
Yeah,
like,
the set decorators probably hate this episode.
I do wonder why everyone's car, they already had cars that were set up for long distance like this. You know, because obviously these were the cars they have.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so yeah, all cars came with a waste recycle unit and, you know, the beds and the...
It's the RV planet.
Like I said, the RV planet,
don't think about it too much. Don't think about it too much. Like, don't because
pull that thread, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Because, you know, like Bo and Novice Hames say that it took what? I mean, it happened in like seven minutes is when like the world ended. it was that quick. And I'm like, eh, kind of really. Like, if she had said 7 days, it would have been just as shocking. I'm like, and I could have believed it a little bit more.
And the fact that this whole bit with the bliss and the patches, which is just our setup, they could have done a whole episode of just that story.
That's true.
No, exactly. It was interesting because it could have been, you know, everything about a drug addict society, but no, they didn't even, they tacked on it and they passed right by it. And instead they went to the traffic.
Right. And I'm sure a day or two after the doctor's gone, those side
people are right back.
No, of course, no. Society is much better now for it.
Well, they do have cats in charge.
Yeah, they're doomed.
Yeah, but, exactly.
You know, I think that scene was there because they're a mirror for how the doctor is handling his own tragedy. I mean, his addiction is time travel. He's going on all these adventures so he doesn't have to think about the losses that he's suffered.
Right.
Interesting.
Yeah, because if that's why he keeps moving. In this episode, mm-hmm. he just keeps moving. And it's not till the end. It is such a beautiful scene when Martha just takes the chair and sits. And it's like, I'm not going anywhere until you sit down and talk to me. And it's just, I mean, who does that to the doctor? It's one of the reasons why I love her as a companion.
And I love it too, because he asked her, like, are you staying?
It's like, wow, you know, you're already she's giving like, up.
Nope.
So that was pretty awesome.
She's like, yes, I love the traffic in this this place so well.
Right. Yeah.
The food is awesome.
Oh, the look on her face when she said the, you know.
Oh, right.
Yes. All waste is recycled. It was just awesome. No, it was a great story, and it was a lot of fun. It's been at least 8 years since I've seen this one. So
it's one of those ones. It happens, the Martha season, you know, I'll put it up against any season that's ever been made of Doctor Who, because there's some, I mean, classic 5-star stories this season, right? Because we've got Blink coming up. We've got Family of Blood and that, and so we've got some really, really good stuff coming, and this one, I think that's why this one kind of gets overlooked, because there's so much good stuff happening in the second half of this season. But yeah. I really think that the first three episodes with that introduced Martha are really good too.
Yeah, but then you also have Mikey at the end of the season. If you think of the doctor really hard, he'll come back. And there goes Dobby Doctor, you know. Yeah.
But this show and this episode also followed the Shakespeare episode, which was a really good one.
Yep.
Yes.
Yep.
So actually, and I didn't realize it until I was reading some notes, so I looked for it. It's something I had not noticed before, but when they do land in that alley and the doctor steps out of the TARDIS, he plucks an arrowhead from the TARDIS from where the Queen's guards were shooting at him in the previous episode.
Oh, wow.
It's quick. Cool. I never noticed it, and then I read it and went looking for it, and then you can see it.
Mm-hmm.
Nice. It's cool. Quick, that's, yeah, he that's just awesome. Walks out and just plucks it off with his hand as he comes out the door.
Nice little continuity there.
Yeah.
Especially for Doctor Who. There's no room
for Big Finish to go in between these.
Exactly.
Well, and that's the great thing about it, because the end of the Shakespeare story also ties into the 50th anniversary special.
That's true.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, no.
We had to wait a little while on that one.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Usually when they drop those kind of things, you're expecting, oh, sometime this season we'll see it. And yeah, they held on to that one for a while.
And this is the first time, I think, also that we've, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think this is the first time the doctor's talked about Gallifrey. I mean, the 10th doctor, right? Since New Who came back. Cause
in this kind of detail, I think you're right. Yes.
Yeah. Cause I think it was a big revelation when I seem to recall when I first watched it, I was like, whoa, he's like talking about Gallifrey. And I'm like, that's, you know, I mean, he's mentioned the Time War before, and we've gotten into that. And of course, we've seen Daleks and all that. But, you know, this to have him talk about his home planet, I thought this was like the first time since the series came back that they really went into it.
Yeah. And when I was doing
it, may have been because RTD was actually trying to avoid that in the beginning. Yes.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And in doing my research, too, as I was reading a little bit about the episode to see if there were any things I missed in watching it, apparently the description that he uses is dialogue from a first Doctor story where Susan describes what Gallifrey looks like.
Oh, wow. That's cool.
That it's the exact same dialogue.
That's cool. I did not know that. Because I was wondering, as he was talking about it, I'm like, okay, I've seen Gallifrey now. Does it look like that? I was thinking to myself, like, right. Like I don't remember Red Fields, but okay, you know.
Yeah, I was kind of the same way. I'm like, wait, the leaves are all silver. I don't remember.
I remember, I mean, you get a lot of that if you read, like, the Target books and mm-hmm. stuff like that, mm-hmm. where Gallifrey is described.
Exactly. You can't go off of the old series version of Gallifrey either, because he just went out to a quarry.
Well, and every time we've seen Gallifrey in the New Who, it's either been in the middle of a war or it's been like out in the desert.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
True. Cause you never really see like a lush Gallifrey, you know, and, or, you know, you've seen the, you know, like how he described the city with the globe around it and such, yeah. But then also during the war, you saw the dome had been cracked and smashed. So it's just interesting to see the different versions of it. But, you know, and it was a good story. And like we said, it ties into a lot of different things. Any final thoughts before we go ahead and rate this story? Okay. So let's go ahead and rate this now. And 1 out of 5 TARDISes. Bobby, this was your pick, so you got to go first.
I'm going to give it a 4. It is just a solid adventure story that I can sit down and just, like, if I just want to watch a Doctor Who episode, this is one I can pop right in, enjoy it, you know, and by itself and just have a good time with it. So yeah, definitely 4 out of 5.
Okay. Mary.
You know, I think I'm actually going to give it a 4.5 because this is actually, I really have a soft spot for this episode, and I go back to it a lot. I've watched it a lot of times, and it's always fun every time. And I think it's one of my favorite RTD episodes. And yeah, of course, there's silliness and there's plot holes, but I don't care because it's such an enjoyable episode. And there's a lot going on underneath the surface here, which, you know, especially upon multiple viewings, you really start to see, and it's actually quite cleverly done. And David Tennant is great in it. And it's a good Martha episode. Not so much in that she's not a huge part of the action, but there's a lot of emotional growth here for her and a lot of realization of her place in the scheme of things. And even her power as a companion to the Doctor, and I really love that, and I love the speech at the end. It's such a lovely moment where he's describing Gallifrey, and I think there's just a lot to recommend to this episode. So I'm giving it a 4.5.
Okay, Mikey.
Yeah, at the end when it just, you know, he's talking and describing it, and it just sort of, the camera moves, and it's like it's going to fade to black. And you're like, no, wait, he's not done. We want to stay here.
Tell me more.
Yeah, I'm going to go with a solid four. I like a lot of this. The performances are great. The characters are awesome. Russell's writing is good. Like I said, there's some, like, I wish it made a little bit more sense. I wish the macro weren't thrown in like that. So there's some issues that I have with the story that way, but no, it's, you know, it's one of my favorites because it's a great, you know, a great Doctor and Martha story. And, it's actually probably because of what it was like, the stories that come after this, And we'll skip over the two-parter with the Daleks. But the great stories that come after this with the camaraderie between them can't happen without this one. Like, this is where they kind of get on more even ground. And so the camaraderie they have, the relationship they have, by the time you see Blink, by the time you see Family of Blood, like, it starts here, really. And yeah, it's a good one. And yeah, certainly it's something we can all relate to because of the whole, like, you know, who hates being stuck in traffic, which feels like 20 years, two decades, right? That's the story of my commute.
Mm-hmm. There you go. It should be, like we said, it should have been called Atlanta. But it probably
new Atlanta.
New Atlanta. Same old traffic, new Atlanta. I'm probably going to go with Mary, though, for my score and give it a 4.5. I enjoyed it and couldn't believe that I took 8 years to watch this one. Love the characters. I loved David and Freema in this. And it was great, you know, with all the different mythoses they did touch on. And, you know, the macro were thrown in there. But I just think it could have been any crab monster. Oh, what are those species? Oh, that's the Glog 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 from Alpha 6. How did they get down here? Or something. You know, it could have been anything. And, you know, they were just paying fanboy service, I think, in this. And I think I would recommend it for somebody. It's a great, you know, Doctor, it's almost a Doctor Heavy story and a Companion Light story, because Martha was, you know, they were never really together until the end. And I enjoyed that part of it. And, you know, the whole thing about the kidnapping, and you were trying to figure out where the story was going, and then they sat in traffic.
And speaking of that, I love the ending too, where, you know, they're all sad about, you know, the face of Bo, you know, looks like he's dying. And Martha's just so happy to be back and reunited with the Doctor and out of traffic and all that kind of stuff. She's like, happy, happy, happy. She turns the corner and she turns the corner and first sees all the dead people, all the skeletons. She's like, this is kind of gross. She hears the Doctor's voice and then goes, turns another corner and she just sees this big old head like laying there. And she's like, whoa, really, really good performances.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Because right, if Martha had a jump from car to car with the Doctor, in every car we would have had to have stopped and explained who these aliens were, or something like that, because it would be out of the normal for Martha.
Right. Yeah.
So not having to do that, I think, moved the story along.
No, I agree with that. But the also thing people always forget is Martha was a doctor.
Mm-hmm.
Also.
Mm-hmm. And we see a little bit of that in here when the woman mentions she's pregnant. And she's like, and you're wearing stuff like this? And she rips the honesty patch off of her. Yes,
exactly. Yeah. But, and it's just, it's one of those points in the show where it almost felt like it was like second thought. Mm-hmm. And that's, you know, that I think is poor, you know, plotting out and everything on Russell T's fault, you know, because she could have been a really strong character, you know. Hey, she is, you know, she's a professional in her own. She's just not, you know, this one person like, oh, doctor, what is it? You know, she's a smart cookie. To become a doctor, you have to be fairly with it. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, that's just my opinion. But of course, we want to hear from you guys at home. Please let us know what you thought about this episode. You know, of course, you just write us at eswpodcast@gmail.com. or call us at 404-963-9057. I was going to talk to you guys real quick at home. We have some pretty big news here on the ESO Network. We have created our own Patreon account. And it's just not for Earth Station Who. It is for all the shows on the network. It's on for Earth Station One. It's for us here on Earth Station Who. It's for the Dragon Con Report. It's for Dr. Geek. It's for Transmissions from Atlantis. It's on for Terminus. It's on for all of us, and we're all going to be participating in it. And this is your chance to help basically support the network. And, you know, you guys do a great job by telling people about us and shopping at the Amazon link and TeePublic and all that. But this is an even more special way, because this is your chance to actually, you know, help support the station almost NPR wise. You'll be donating once a month, and it's You could do anything from $1 up to $10. You know, it's not that, you know, difficult to do, and it's not that big of a hit. And, you know, some people, money is really tight nowadays. And trust me, I'm one of those people. And that's not the reason I'm doing this, but I'm doing this because we want to better the network. We want to, you know, bring you more high quality programming. And part of that is if you subscribe to the Patreon account and help donate towards it, you'll be getting material that people who are on iTunes and Stitcher Radio and others won't be getting. This is just for patrons of the shows and the network. It's, you know, we'll have a special show once a month for our subscribers. We'll have bonus material of stuff we've recorded at cons, stuff we've recorded over at, you know, when we go down to Con K, or if we go to Hulanta, or we have other panels that we do at Dragon Con related to Doctor Who or other topics. We're going to have all of that. And it's just not Earth Station 1 and Earth Station Who stuff. All the shows are going to be doing different things for it. So this is some pretty amazing stuff that you're going to be getting. And we have right now 24 different shows on the network. And, you know, guys, this is a great thing that we're going to be working towards, and we're growing. And this is some pretty big steps we're taking. You know, don't fret. Our shows are going to stay free. All the shows on the network that you usually listen to are not going anywhere. We're not going to charge you for those. Those are going to stay free, and the quality is hopefully going to improve, because hopefully with the Patreon, we'll be getting better equipment and better, you know, mixing boards and sound systems, and maybe even new ways to, you know, communicate other than Skype. So we don't have to worry about that anymore. You know, there's going to be a lot of different things changing through the network, and it's all to better for you guys. And that's what it is. We cannot do this without you. That's, you know, a really amazing thing with this Patreon. It's going to bring a lot of things together, and it's all big, and it's going to hopefully make 2018 a really good year for all of us. And there's a lot of crap in the air these days, and we, you know, here at the network want to bring great things to you guys. And with that being happening, you know, I think Patreon's just the first step. We're going to have a lot of different events going on. We got things planned already. We're starting already planned for Dragon Con in September. You know, that's 9 months away, 8 months away. It's just amazing stuff. And we want to make it happen with you guys. But, you know, I just wanted to bring that to you guys' attention. You know, you can find it. It's real easy to find our Patreon. It's www.patreon.com/ESO Network. Doesn't get much easier than that, folks. Speaking of easier than that, we are going to be back again in 2 weeks. We'll be going to the Sixth Doctor era. That's right. We are going to be looking at Time Lash. The Doctor and Perry in peril again. Ooh, I can't wait. It's going to be a lot of fun, and it should
be the things we do for you guys.
Exactly. The episodes we talk about for you guys. I want to thank everyone for joining us. Of course, Bobby Nash, thank you so much for picking this episode. It was great.
Oh, my pleasure. Thanks for having me back. It's been a while. It's always good to come and hang out with you guys.
Yeah, but it means back into the airlock with you, my friend.
Back into the airlock. Well, hopefully JD's got things cleaned up in there before I get back.
I hope so. Any appearances or anything you've got going on, sir?
My first convention appearance of the year is at the Sunday, February 25th. Down in Columbus, Georgia, for the Columbus comic and toy show. The city of Columbus is actually doing what they call Superhero Weekend. That weekend, there's some events where there's like 3 or 4 events that for one ticket, you can go do all of them. And it involves like staying at the hotel and all that stuff. But I'll just be at the convention on Sunday, and we're going to have books and stuff to sell. We're also going to be screening the episode of Star Trek Continues that I worked on, Pilgrim of Eternity, in the planetarium. So that should be fun.
Oh, that's awesome. Cool. And always, it's great to have you on. It's like almost like old home week for you.
Thank you. Yeah, it's been a while. Yeah.
Well, thank you much, Bobby. Let's, of course, thank our regulars. Mr. Mike.
As always, it's my pleasure.
Anything you want to shout out about?
Well, like you said, you know, the Patreon's exciting, and I am glad that we're part of it. And I'm you know, we've already got a few backers, so that's already pretty cool. So the more the merrier.
Exactly. You know, the more we get, the more Mike can get a new howdy going. It's always good.
Support my howdy.
Exactly. His howdy habit.
The old one's starting to go.
That's the first sign of old age. Your howdy just gets up and leaves. And Mary, thank you so much for taking a break from moving.
Oh, thank you for giving me a chance to take a break from moving.
I appreciate it. Anything you want to promote?
Just if you're interested in my artwork or my writing, just visit maryogle.com.
That is awesome. Mary has some amazing work. And, you know, if you haven't seen her stuff, folks, definitely take a chance and take a look at it. She is one of the most talented people I know. It's pretty awesome.
Thank you. And I also want to put in a bid for Patreon, because Patreon is a fantastic way to support the station. And I support several creators on Patreon, and it's very worthwhile.
And Mary, you did the cover for the Tales of the Station book as well, right?
I did.
Yep, and she did.
Very nice cover.
I'll never look at an astronaut without expecting to see an eyeball in there ever again. That is pretty awesome. Well, thank you guys at home. We appreciate it. As always, we will see you next time here on Earth Station Who. My name is Mike Faber, and we are done. Peace. Ta-da.
You have been listening to Earth Station Who, a bi-weekly pop culture podcast dedicated to all things Doctor Who, featuring talents from across the universe. All topics on the show are the sole opinions of the individual and are used for entertainment value alone. You can subscribe to our podcast up on iTunes, Stitcher, or follow our blog at www.esopodcast.com. You can also follow us up on Facebook, Twitter, or Google+. If you enjoyed the show, please leave feedback up on iTunes.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network, your station for all things geek, classic, current, and beyond. Be part of the crew at esonetwork.com.